We've just started a series that we're calling Gear Up, and wanting us to help gear up. And we've selected four things this year we're going to focus on that probably are places we as a church either minimized in the early years of church of Quest, or we just need to reemphasize in a unique way. And those four areas are going to be reach, equip, pray, and belong. And now we selected one to start with, and then we'll go to the others as we go along this year, okay? So where we decided to start is over here in belong and try to address that. And we've kind of said this is what it looks like, is to initiate, support, and develop effective environments for experiencing community, the very thing Kim was talking about earlier this morning, for the people in Quest and the next wave of those who will be coming, some of whom are already among us. Because I think we probably tried to assimilate people early in the process of Quest, but some of the people who have joined us since, we haven't done as good a job at assimilating them, connecting them, helping them belong. And so we want to do that in a better way. So it's because of this. We believe in connection, that one of the greatest and most essential gifts that God has given us is one another. And it's really important. We believe in connection. In Romans 12 says this, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." And we're going to try to unfold that a little bit more. And so last week what we did this is we decided this. Last week, really the message was all about the fact that we are simply together under rowers, together in the belly of the ship, right? With Christ as the only captain on the bridge who was calling out directions. That was really the point of that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and leading up to the first verse of chapter 4. It says, we are simply under rowers in the belly of the ship who are rowing together. And it is Christ who is the captain. Because they were fighting about who was the captain of the ship, right? And some were saying, hey, Paul's the captain of the ship. And others were saying, no, Apollos is. And some of the real knuckleheads were saying, no, it's Peter, Cephas, he's the captain of the ship. And Paul's saying, no, you're all stupid. I mean, he didn't use the word, right? But he says, you're all a bunch of idiots. We're all just under rowers down here together. And it is Christ who is one who is the captain of the ship on the bridge calling out directions. So get it in your heads, guys, that we're in this thing together, sitting on the bench together, here rowing together, okay? Now, last week, it kind of came down to that movie clip that we used, Mr. Voss. He comes over to Martinez, and he says, Martinez, what happens when all the cells work together? When all the cells work together, Martinez responds with, the entire system is healed when they work together. When they understand they're all on the benches together in the belly of the ship, it all gets better. That's right. So this week, we want to answer a question of this. What do we do when the person next to me on the bench is really different than me? Have you ever felt that? You know, you're on this bench called Christianity, and you're sitting there on the bench, and the person next to you, you look at them, and you go, wow, you're really different. You're different than me. And some of it I don't like. You know, some people you sit next to, and they're really different, and you go, hey, that's cool. And other people, you go, wow, you're hard. You're a challenge. You drive me a little crazy, you know, because we have it, right? I mean, it's a reality. Sometimes we want to idealize the church, that it's a bunch of people that are just going to be perfect with each other. We're all going to like each other really easily right from the beginning. Well, guess what? It's not true. Okay, so here's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at a passage, again in 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians, in chapter 12, and we're going to go verses 1 through 26, which is a lot of verses, so you'll find me going fairly quickly because I want to get to the end of it again, which I think is the big idea. It's a little bit like a recipe. There are going to be several pieces in here. There are going to be pieces of the recipe, but if you mix them all together, at the end it brings us to the big idea, okay? So here we go. We're going to start in verse 1, oddly enough. We're going to start right here. Yeah, you guys, let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us this morning. Father, thank you for today. This is a special day because you made it. And your mercies were new again this morning. It's not any more special in a sense than any other day of our lives, but it is a chance for us to gather together and not to try to just come and do church. But Father, we'd like to hear from you and your word. And we'd like to embrace that, wrestle with it, and do something about it. And Father, every person comes into this room this morning from very different places. whether it be where our emotional world is at, or what our experience and our background is, or with some of the hurts or pains or joys. We come from a variety of different places. And we could probably never figure it out totally. But Father, you can, because you made us. And you are aware of everything about us. And how you do that as God is beyond my comprehension, but it's very simple, because you actually are God. And for you, it is not a problem. You do not struggle or work hard to do it. It is who you are. And so this morning, would you speak to us from your word so that we might respond to your heart? That's our desire. And so we pray these things because Christ made it all possible because of what he did for us. And so we pray in his name. Amen. All right. So let's jump in here and see. He's having a discussion here in this part of 1 Corinthians about spiritual gifts, which can, for some of you, is a somewhat confusing kind of topic. For others, not so confusing. We'll be addressing this as we go along. And so he starts out, but the real point he's going to make here is in verse 3, but he says this: "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed," and so therefore he's going to inform them. "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by mute idols, however you were led." They had committed themselves to these pagan deities and sensing and trying to figure out how these pagan deities could guide their lives, and so they listened to that. However that happened. Then he says, though, in verse 3, "However, I want you to understand that no one speaking of the Spirit of God has ever said that Jesus is accursed, and no one can say," and now let's circle this, "that Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit." It is the Holy Spirit who speaks to our hearts that convicts us the fact that Jesus is Lord, that he is the one. And no one can say that he is accursed and be connected to the Spirit of God. So you can know in these pagan idols as they say, no, Jesus is accursed, he's wrong. That is not of God in any way, shape, or form. That is clearly from these pagan idols. But the one who says, yes, Jesus is Lord, that is the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Now, that is kind of the start here, that Jesus is Lord of all of life. Now, let's go to verse 4. Now, if Jesus is the one who is working in our lives in these gifts, look at this. It says, now there are a variety of gifts, but let's circle it, but the same Spirit. Yeah, there's a variety of gifts that God gives us. And different people, different ways. But it's really one God. It's one Spirit is what he's trying to say here. Now look in verse 5. And there are a variety of service, or varieties of service, but the same Lord. Look in verse 6. And there are a variety of activities, but the same God. Now let's kind of additionally circle this. It is the same God who empowers them in everyone. You see, it is God who is at work. It is God who gives these gifts. It is God who gives us the ability for certain services. It is God who is the one who leads in the area of these activities. But it is God who empowers it also. He empowers us to live these things out. He gives us that ability. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, look at this in verse 7. Let's kind of circle it big time. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit. And he's set up here, it's of the Spirit, right? It's God who does it. And each is given a manifestation of the Spirit, and the purpose for it is for the common good. It is never to be flashy in and of ourselves. To be kind of say, look at me and what God is doing in me, around me, through me, or whatever. It is never for that. It is for the common good that he gives us these gifts, these services, these abilities, these activities. It is for the common good of the body. That's a really important piece here. That it's never for the flashiness of self. That becomes the idol of self, right? But it is for the common good of those in our community. In our church community, I think in our entire community. It is for the common good. And if we forget this, we lose track of what these are all about. So there's another piece of the recipe, right? That Jesus is Lord, and that the manifestation of the Spirit in our lives is for the common good. Wow, okay, now let's go to verse 8. Let me read this whole screen. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, and to according to the same Spirit, and another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy. Oh, I forgot to highlight that one. And to another, the ability to distinguish between gifts. And to another, the kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, let's highlight all those words. That's kind of the way we read this usually, right? We kind of make a big deal out of all these activities, all these gifts. When I think the point of this passage is this, is for to one is given through the Spirit. This is God's activity. That the utterance of knowledge is according to the same Spirit. It is God working in this. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healings by the Spirit. That's what he's trying to say. It is God's working. It is not the uniqueness of the way we live it out or the unique activity or gift or service that he's given us. But it is a fact, the real emphasis is that this is God, that he's doing all these things. And then look, it jumps over to verse 11. And all these, and now let's circle it again, are empowered by the one and the same Spirit. You see, it is God who is doing this, and he is the one who gives us the ability and the power to do it. That is what he's trying to say so powerfully here. And then that this passage, or this verse in 11, says, goes on to say, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who, and now he's going to tell us what he does, who, first of all, apportions to each individually. And then secondly, as he wills. This is his will for us. So you have all, maybe you've been in environments, this usually happens on the college campus. It happened to where I worked, at every campus I ever worked at with Campus Crusade, is there was always one ministry on campus. Campus always collects about 15 or 20 different ministries, and there's always one or two that emphasize the gifts of the Spirit, and oftentimes in a very inappropriate way. And oftentimes they would emphasize what we call the sign gifts, and saying that is what really proves that you're a Christian, is that you can do this particular sign gift or that particular sign gift, and that's the proof, that's the evidence. And it's not true. See, you see, God apportions out what who he's made us and the gifts he's given us according to him. And they would say, you can come to our meeting and we can teach you to speak in tongues. Everyone should speak in tongues. And I always took him, the guy who ran the ministry was my friend, and I'd say, how can you teach that? 1 Corinthians 12 says exactly the opposite. This is God's will. And who he wants to give the gift of tongues to, he does. And who he doesn't want to, he doesn't. And it's according to him, and you can't teach him it because it's God's gift. And he does it, he apportions as he wills to each and every individual. Right? He's made us all different, gifted us differently because the difference is what makes us a whole. Because we don't need to all be the same. You know, I mean, thank God you're not all like me, right? I mean, it'd be like sad. Be terrible. Because we need people who are more service-oriented than me, more merciful than me. People that are far more administrative than me. That deserved an amen. You know, if people like, we will reach the world for Christ when all those people with the gift of administration are fully engaged in helping us be organized to do it. Not a bunch of yappers like me. But this is God, as he apportions to each one individually. So he has you in mind. He's thinking about you. He made you in a certain way. And he gifted you in very particular ways. Because you're necessary. And to each individually, as he wills. It was his. I mean, can you imagine that God was probably at creation? Because he knew you before time, right? So he knew it before time. I'm sure he got kind of fun to say, I'm going to make him like this. And I'm going to give him these gifts and these abilities. I'm going to wire him this way. And it is going to be awesome. And then the next one, he comes over. So many of you know a friend of mine named Bud Blossfield. And some of you don't, but Bud's about 6'9", weighs about 320 pounds, loves to hug people, which is a dangerous activity. And he's a bit over the top. And amen, that's another amen. And so I've said about 100 times, Bud, you are probably the most unique human being I have ever known. And he is. And God said when he made you, that's amazing. And I'm never doing that again. I'm never doing that again. And guess what? He said that for all of us, right? That's amazing. I'm never doing it again. Because you're unique as an individual. And he apportions individually as he wills. Wow. Okay, let's go on. Verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body. That's the point here, right? One spirit, one body. There's a oneness about this. So it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one spirit. That's the point, the one spiritness of us, the oneness that God makes of us. Look at this. Now, he's going to kind of use this as an illustration. The body does not consist of one member, but of many. Now, I have to laugh at this because I just think Paul had to be chuckling when he wrote this because it's really kind of funny, I think. But it's true. He says this. If the foot should say, which obviously feet can't speak, but if the foot could speak, and he said, hey, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Would that not make it any less a part of the body? No, of course it wouldn't. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body, right? Of course. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, that would be gross. Where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, which would even be grosser, where would the sense of smell be? So let me just kind of illustrate this just for a second, if we can. Here I have a picture of a foot. Okay, feet, I don't know about you, but they're necessary. Really, they are, aren't they? They're really very necessary. But they're not the prettiest thing in the world. You know, feet are a bit bizarre. That's why we wear shoes, not just to cover the bottom, but to cover the tops, you know? And so, because they're just, I don't know, they get beat up, they get, just kind of, feet are a little bit gross. I don't really like feet. Now, because the foot kind of realizes, you know, like, I'm kind of unique, and here we have a hand. Hands are more beautiful than feet, it seems to me. And so the foot goes, man, I'm not a hand. I guess I don't belong to the body. Where would we be without feet? It'd be bad. It wouldn't be very good. So the foot can't say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not necessary. It's as if the foot is living in envy of the hand. It says, oh, I'm not a hand. I'm not a part of the body. No, it's not true. Yeah, let's go to the other illustration he uses, which is even stranger, the ear. Now, this is a fairly attractive ear. I tried to find as attractive an ear as possible, because ears are not all the same, just so you know. But this is a fairly attractive ear. But if you take the ear by itself, it's a strange thing. Let's face it, it's got these folds in it that kind of move around, and it's real. There's this kind of toughness to the ear. The ear is not a very... Ears have, you know, not everybody's ears are the same either. This is the gal I dated in high school. I thought she was cute. No, this is a cosmetically done ear. But ears aren't that. But here's the ear. Okay, so the ear says to the eye, man, I'm not like the eye. So, let's go to the eye. So eyes are really cool, aren't they? And so the ear says to the eye, man, I'm not an eye. I guess I don't belong to the body because it needs to be the eye. Well, that's just not true, is it? We need all the different parts. And so we need to not both envy one another, but also not demean one another in anything that we do. So let's go on to verse 18. Because he kind of continues this whole theme here. He says, but as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. He arranged it as he chose. This was his idea. Wow. If we were all a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet, and here's the point, right? One body. We're one body. Wow. So, verse 21. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary. Now, you guys, look at this. On the contrary, The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, are absolutely necessary. So critical, so important, so necessary that they are indispensable. And on those parts, verse 23, on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. Do we do that? Or do we have a tendency to kind of give great honor to the most visible? And we forget to give greatest honor to the less visible, the less obvious. And then Paul moves on to an even more powerful thought here. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. This is what we in our culture would call the private parts. That we treat them in a way that gives great modesty. This is a radical thought for the Corinthians. It was a very naked environment. They did the Olympics in the nude. Private parts weren't very private in this culture. And Paul was saying, no, you treat them modestly. And for those unpresentable parts we treat, we don't out people, is what he's saying. That they're treated with greater modesty. Wow, look at verse 24a. Which of our more presentable parts we don't require. You see, we care for one another. We protect one another. We need one another. And we give honor to the least obvious. Wow. Now, that brings us to kind of the culmination of this. I love this. In verse 24b, but God, let's circle it. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. Wow, that's incredible. That there may be no division in the body. But, now let's circle this, but, now this is really going to be the big point here, but that the members may have the same care for one another and for every part of it, whether it's the real obvious ones, visible or less visible, or maybe those who are even need the most modesty, that we, the members, may care for one another in a powerful way. So it brings us to verse 26. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. It's a beautiful thought, and it is hard to do. To honestly say, the person next to me is suffering, and I need to suffer with them. We usually think we need to fix them. We usually say, I need to remove myself from you. I need to move away from you. I don't know what to do with you. Rather than saying, I don't know how to fix you either, but I'm going to move closer to you. I'm going to get shoulder to shoulder with you. I don't know what to do, but I just want to be here. Or sometimes rejoicing with one another. Moving over and saying, it's awesome. Let me enter into your awesomeness. Let me just rejoice with you. You throw on a party, I'm there. I'm coming. And I'm going to rejoice with what you're rejoicing with. Because we're in this together. Right? So in 2005, there was a film that came out called Coach Carter. It's a great film about a high school basketball team. And it's really actually about a guy named Ken Carter who became the basketball coach at Richmond High School in California in 1999. And he was returning to his alma mater. And here's a school that was doing really well athletically, but it was doing terrible academically. And he's a businessman in the area, very successful. And he came in to help the school get it together. And eventually, his players were doing terrible academically, and they had signed contracts with him about how they were going to do. And eventually, he shut down the gym. And he got all sorts of flack for it. But in the process, he was trying to teach these players what it meant to be a team. And this is a team made up of black, Hispanic, Asian, white, the whole nine yards. And in this school, there was great animosity between those groups. And so one day when he held the team responsible for what they'd agreed to, this is what happened.
Bring it in, guys. Come on, one more time. Go, hustle up.
Hey, yo, bring it in, y'all. Hustle up.
All right, that's it for today. We have a game tomorrow, so get some rest tonight. And remember, ties and jackets tomorrow. Clay. Mr. Cruz, I'm impressed with what you've done, but you came up short. You owe me 80 suicides and 500 push-ups. Please leave my gym. Thanks, Clyde. Gentlemen, see you tomorrow.
I'll do push-ups for him. You said we're a team. One person struggles and we all struggle. One player triumphs, we all triumph, right?
I'll do some. I run suicides too.
I do some too.
Fine. Let's keep count. Call me when they're done.
It's amazing what story tells. Really, that's the story of God, right? They just told it in a basketball court. That's what he called us to do. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one triumphs, we all triumph. We enter into that together. Because we believe in connection. We believe that one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given us is each other. We believe that we are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We believe that. And so it brings us to the place of asking, what does it mean to belong? What does it mean to belong? So last week we talked about the fact that we all sit on the bench. We all sit on a bench together. Under the lordship of Christ. That's the religious way to put it, right? The non-religious way to put it is that we sit on the same bench together because there's one captain that we all listen to together. It's not about who's cool on the bench. It's about who are we listening to. The lordship of Christ allows us to belong because we understand that who's really in charge, who's the captain of the ship, and that we're simply on the underbelly of the ship sitting on the benches together. This week, what I'm trying to say is this. Is that we all sit on those benches as he has arranged us and as he has designed us. As one body who care for one another, who suffer together, and who rejoice with each other. So last week was all about who's the captain of the ship. And today is all about belonging, is the fact that who are you sitting on the bench with? And that we go through it together. And when one is hurting, we take up the slack. And when one is rejoicing, we rejoice with them. That's what it means to belong. And so, let me just address. So, therefore, let me just some thoughts. Therefore, what do we do now? What do we do with this? I have five thoughts, maybe this. First of all, is to discover the value and the unique you, the valuable and the unique you that God has designed and placed in the body for a specific use. It's really important that we understand who we are in God's grace and in God's unique design. And maybe some of you have a really good understanding of that. Maybe you go, I'm not really sure. So in this whole season of Quest, we're going to try to help you figure out who's God made me? And what's the uniqueness of who God has made me? And where has he put me and for what reason? And what's the specificness of it? But that's really important. Secondly, I think this is really important, to stop envying and demeaning other parts of the body. Stop being a foot that says, I wish I was a hand. If he made you a foot, man, you are awesomely important. Enjoy being the foot. And then we're going to give more honor to the foot because we cover it up, right? We give a lot of honor to the hand because it's just out there, you know? But stop envying the other people. Be who God made you to be. And stop demeaning the other parts. It's not fitting. It's not appropriate for us. Enjoy who you are and where you're at. Third, I think this is an important one, to affirm the oneness that God has intended for us as a whole. He's made us to be one. One spirit, one body. That's the point. Affirm that. Value that. Enjoy that. The oneness that he's brought us to. Fourth is this. Enter into both the pain and the joys of those around you without twisting it into being all about you. Enter into the pain and enter into the joys without it becoming about you. Enter into their pain and into their joy. You know, some often people will share with us something and you go, oh, I mean, I've been there before. And then all of a sudden you start telling the story about you. Maybe that'll come with time, but enter into their pain first. Enter into their joy first. And let God use that. Someday you may be able to share it, and very appropriately, your part, but don't have it all of a sudden become about you. Have you ever done that where you've gone to someone and say you're really hurting? And then within seconds, we're discussing them. And you think, what happened to you? What happened here? We'll get there eventually, but at first, enter into their pain, into their joy. In a meaningful way. And I think last and not least, maybe most important, is function as empowered by the Spirit of God. He is the one who empowers us, right? It said it twice in that whole passage. He is the one who gives us the strength. He is the one who gives us the wisdom. He's the one. The Spirit in our lives will lead us. And John sat right here and said, I wasn't quite sure, but I felt God tugging me to go back to that man in front of that convenience store. And it was God that was leading him and helping empower him to function with that $10 bill and to say, God bless you, have a good day. Wow. That we need to function in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we come here to do that so that we might sit on the bench next to someone else and enter into their pain and to enter into their joy. Because that's what it means to belong. And what that means is we're going to need to share our pain and our joys with each other. And that we can try to enter in. And we probably won't be able to fix it, right? Because we're not God. We're not the Holy Spirit. We're not Jesus. We're not the head. We're simply the body that will care for one another. This is a really tall call, I think. I think it's an incredible calling that God has given us. And I think it's probably going to be hard. And my guess is it's going to get messy, right? Are we willing to do messy with one another? I think it's God's call. So I just challenge us, encourage us. If you would challenge me and encourage me, I'd like to pray for you, if you would pray for me, that we would be that kind of church. Because that's what it means to belong, okay? All right, as the band comes up, let's pray. Father, I'm not even really exactly what to say. Your word says that there are sometimes groanings too deep for words. And in this room, I have a feeling there's just a lot of groaning, either because of the pain that we're in as people, or the rejoicing, or maybe in the part of saying, I don't know how to get there. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know. I don't know who I am. I don't know how I fit. But Father, the real point, I think, this morning is the fact that you said you would empower us that you have put us in one body and that there is one Spirit and that we can trust you. And that you have put us in the body in a specific place for a specific reason, and it was your idea. And I pray that we would together begin to learn what that looks like, feels like, smells like, how it functions, what we do, how we do it. And not just in this room, but as we're a part of this community. And we're just this small little church among all these other churches and ministries that you're using. And we're just a piece of the pie that you want to use to touch our community and to touch one another's lives. But Father, I pray that you would do what only you can do in us, so that you can do what only you can do through us and with one another. And it's to that end that we pray, because we'd love to do this out of the power of the flesh, but it's not possible. It's impossible. And so what we have to do is come here and ask you to do it, because we can't do it for ourselves. Only your power, your Spirit in us can do it. And so that's why we need to pray. And Father, I'd ask you right here among us for the purpose of the welfare of each other and of this community, would you do those things? Lead us and guide us to love one another like is not common, and that we would do push-ups for each other. We would run suicides for each other, because you've called us as a team. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.